Gospel of John, chapter 1. And let me just pray here and just, Father, I just ask that you would help me here. I know, Lord, there's a real thought that we need today, and we just ask that you'd give it, Lord, by your power and by your spirit, by your might, Lord. And we ask it in Jesus' name we pray, amen. I want to, today, we have been faithfully really looking at, over the past quite a while now, but we have been looking at the word faith and the seed. Faith and seed. And we've looked at a lot of different aspects about the seed. And there's two seeds, but who is the seed?
Christ
is the seed, okay? He is the seed. The Word of God is the seed. And the Scriptures. And I want to give a thought this morning, and I'll sort of preface this. What I'm going to give you today, I believe, with all my heart, what the Bible teaches, I shouldn't say what I believe, that can be dangerous, okay? But I want to give you a biblical truth that, if you get hold of it, you can take it with you for the rest of your life. Because I want to give you a message today which I've entitled The Supernatural Seed. And I want you, everyone, to remember that word, supernatural seed. And I want to give you this thought today, and hopefully, Lord willing, he'll help us get through this. But I want to maybe even to premise or even think in your mind just for a moment that even if you hold the Bible in your hand, you are really holding a supernatural seed. There is no way to explain how God can put his word in a book and preserve it. And sometimes we kind of miss the absolute wonder of that. So in John chapter 1, we'll read down to verse 12. We're talking about Christ himself here. And he says, in the beginning was the Word. So if you went back to Genesis 1, so in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So he was with God, and he was God. Obviously talking of the deity of God, the Godhead. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So the Bible says, without Jesus Christ, nothing was made without him. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And that light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. So John opens up and it said they didn't comprehend that light. Verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. This is not Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ stepped into history by the way of the virgin birth. Amen? So this is John the prophet, or John the Baptist. He was sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. That's Christ. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Yeah, have you ever thought about something for a moment? We are not the light, but we are a witness to the light. Amen?
Yeah.
And you don't want to ever confuse that. You sometimes wonder, why does God set up churches here and there, sort of, you know, sprinkled over the... and hardly anyone knows about them. I don't know about them, but I know that God leaves a witness. It's a witness to the light. John was that witness. Verse 9, that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. So think of the life of Christ for the moment. Think about him for a second, who the Word was the one who became flesh and dwelt amongst us. That's Jesus Christ. He was the one who God said to Mary, I'll use you as a vessel to provide the seed that the Son of God can be born. The seed of man from the male, that's what the male provides. The woman provides the body. That's why Jesus, that's why when the Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary, she received the seed of the Father. That's why Jesus Christ's blood was not human blood as we know it. It wasn't corrupted. What do you mean it wasn't corrupted? It wasn't corrupted because Adam's fall corrupted the blood that was in Adam. So Jesus steps into the world, and the way God did that was by seed. Okay? That's how he did it. And he put that seed in a vessel. Now, I'm just teaching what the Bible teaches. And then later on, Mary has Elizabeth, her cousin, and John here is born 6 months before Christ was. And John is the one who bears witness to the light. And think about the Lord for a moment. Think about him. He was the one who made this place. And he went unto his own, meaning the Jew, because they had been given the oracles. He was a Jew. He was born a Jew. They were the ones given the oracles of God and so forth. They were God's people. He went unto them and they didn't receive him. Man, what a deal. Can you imagine walking into your own house and you made it and you walked up to your own brethren and they didn't receive you? It's very opposite, isn't it, to what we think. And the world, not only that, did not know him. But think about the Lord for a moment, a total stranger in the place that he created, and this dark world did not know him. They didn't even know the mission he was on. They didn't understand he was the one prophesied in the Old Testament. And the world knew him not. You know, and I'll say this now, today, many people do not know him. They talk about him, but they do not know him. And I want to show you why they don't know him. And then he says in verse 12, but as many as received him. Now, just a way to help us think here for a moment. Who was the seed? Remember, God blessed Abraham. It wasn't seeds, but seed. And who was that seed? Christ. So think of it in this way, think of it in this term for a moment, as many as received the seed. So how does the seed come? By the hearing of the word of God, which is the what? The seed. So I have the written word, and Jesus is the word. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and that's how we receive the seed, by the Spirit of God. Like it's the Spirit of God does the turning in our life so he can plant the seed. That's how it works. So as many as received who? Him. To them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Verse 13. Now I want everyone to look at verse 13 and let this sink down deep into your minds and souls, because it's such an important truth. Which were born, so they received him, the seed, born, which were born, not of what everyone? Blood. So we're talking of human blood, humanity. Not of the will of the flesh, meaning not man's will. I mean, if I can explain to you what salvation or life is, if I can explain it, then I would know how to perform it. True? So it's not by blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of who? God. So I want to talk about the supernatural seed, and the only one who can give life or give birth to that seed is who, everyone? God. Not me, not you, God alone, him. Only God can give birth to that seed. No one else, but God alone. I want us to really focus in on the thought of the supernatural seed. And obviously we are talking of salvation here, but what else is to talk about? It's the supernatural seed here. Come over to me for a moment to Matthew chapter... We won't go back to John. Go over to Matthew chapter 21 for a moment. Now, we know that Christ came unto his own. Pharisees had the Old Testament. They knew who he was. I had plenty of witness of who he was. We don't have time to talk about the life of Christ and the witness of the Old Testament. But in Matthew 21, verse, I think it is 42, I said, didn't I? Yes. In verse 42, Jesus, talking to the Pharisees, saith unto them. So he's opened up the book of Isaiah, the Old Testament, and then he's asking him, did ye never read in the scriptures the stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvellous in our eyes. Therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder, talking about Jesus Christ being the judge of the earth. But I want to make a statement here to the... At that time, would it be fair to say the Pharisees were building their kingdom? And who did they reject? Christ. So they rejected him. And like today, men want to build their kingdoms. It's what men want to do. Men want to build their churches. Without Christ. Amen? Without Christ. They want to build it. Without Christ. Do you know what happened when Jesus said to them, you want your kingdom, you want the law, but you do not want the seed. You do not want me. What was Israel blind to? It was faith. At that time, they didn't have faith. So Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. You remember last week we looked at Acts 3:26 that says, unto you first God, having raised up his son Jesus. It's talking to Israel. They saw the Son of God. Raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. Remember last week we looked at the turning of the ground? Do you know what men would rather have than Christ Jesus? They'd rather have the law than Christ. They would rather have this, as I keep saying, man cannot win or earn anything from God. It either has to be received as a free gift or do without it. Man would rather have the law, and the law is this: somehow morally I'm okay, I can get to heaven. And I will not identify myself with the death of the seed, which Jesus Christ had died on the cross, amen? I'm a guilty sinner like every other man and woman upon the face of the earth, because our heredity comes from Adam. It's in our blood. It's in our nature. We're born sinners. If you don't believe you're a sinner, you're deceived. And then I was deceived. Then I found out I was a sinner. That ain't so good, is it? Oh my God, how did I ever do that? Do you know what I mean? What a melting moment. But then I identified with the cross, amen. And that's the death of the seed. And the death of the seed died for our sins on a cruel cross, amen. But what about the resurrection, amen? Hallelujah. He rose from the grave. I'm not identified with the cross, I'm identified with the seed and the resurrection of Jesus Christ because God rose him from the dead. So come over to back to Galatians for a moment. Back to Galatians chapter 3 again. Put this somehow in context a little bit this morning. Paul here is writing to a church, and they're a bit like Israel. They wanted the law, and they didn't want the seed, or they didn't want Christ. But they started with Christ, okay? So they started off okay, and that's what Paul's saying to them. So let's have a look in Galatians 3. I'll get there soon. Okay, verse 1, let's just read this. So Paul, speaking to the Galatian church, he says, O foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you, that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ have been evidently set forth crucified among you. This only would I learn of you. Now notice the next word. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the what? Hearing of faith. So how did they receive the seed? By the hearing of faith. Not by the law. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are now ye made perfect by the flesh? You know, sometimes, how do you receive the things that God gives you and he births it into you? How can you explain that? Well, that's what the Galatians were trying to do. They were trying to explain only what something God can do. I cannot explain to you what only God can do. I can see the result of it, but I can't explain it to you. That's what the Galatians were doing. They began to add the law to what they had already received. And so Paul's mad at them. He's oh, you're so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, and now you're made perfect by the flesh. You know what they're really doing? They're really, in their heart, they're rejecting Christ, and they say, no, I've got to be perfect to get to heaven. I'd rather the law than Jesus Christ, even though they had received Christ, because someone had bewitched them. Messed with you. Got hold of your mind to somehow think that you had something to do with the birth of the seed. But what did the gospel say? Born not of the will of man, or by blood, nor by the will of man, or by the flesh, but by who? God. They had received the seed, they received it by the Spirit. Now someone has bewitched them and said, somehow now you've got to be perfect. And you're going to be made perfect by the flesh by adding the law to them. What did the Pharisees want? They wanted the law, but who did they not want? Christ. They wanted to somehow feel self-justified in the eyes of God, that somehow they were pleasing God. You can't please God. You can receive from him, but you can't please him. Only way I can please God was when I received the gift of salvation. You can't work for a gift, can you? And it's not very pleasing if someone tries to give me something and say, I'll work for it. How do you think you would feel? No, I'm trying to give you something, stupid. I get so frustrated sometimes, I really do. How much do I got to knock on this hard shell to try to get you to understand you got to receive something? Well, imagine how God feels in heaven. Oh, where were we? Sorry. Just shoot me. He therefore, Okay, so then he goes on. He says, "Therefore, he therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doth he do it by the works of the law, by the hearing of faith." He goes on and he starts into Abraham, even as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. So he's taking them back to the very fact that when you believed, you received. That's what he's taking them back to. And they've been messed up. And he takes them right down to verse 16 where he says, "Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made, he saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ." So once you establish who the seed is, we then know who to receive. Now, like anything, when you put a seed in the ground and it grows, it produces what, everyone? Fruit or life, doesn't it? You see the little plant, bing, and there's life. And I want to start with this premise that Jesus said, "I have come to give life more abundantly." So Israel, for a moment, use them as the illustration. They wanted law, religion, but they didn't want faith. They would prefer to have the law than Christ, and the blessing was in the turning. For those who turned to Christ when he was physically here, they believed on the Son of God. But the majority of Israel did not do that. Okay? So they did that. But when you receive a seed and it gets life, what do you receive? Life. So I want to start on this moment for everyone here. So when you think about your own salvation, when you first receive Christ, however that came about, different roads to the seed, we know what I mean. Do you realise that the Bible teaches that we received a new life? Now, I say it's a new life because the seed came in, true? By hearing. So the seed comes in, into your heart. So I want to use that, "For man believeth unto righteousness from the heart." So the seed comes into your heart. It doesn't come through your intellect. It comes by receiving that seed by faith, and that's by hearing of the word of God. So when I received that seed, I received as a newborn babe in Christ a new life. It was new to me. I never had this life before. This life was something that God birthed in us when we believed. We'll come more fully to that in a moment. It was such a new life to me, and in my own experience, it was Psalm 43, where it says, "And he hath put a new song in my mouth." Once I'm cursing him, now I'm praising him. "A new song in my mouth." Interesting, isn't it? "Even praise unto our God, many shall see it and fear, to trust in the Lord." So when I became a Christian, God gave me a new life. Did I understand everything about that life? No, obviously I didn't. But I did know one thing. I had a new song. It used to amaze me how I used to travel. I'll always remember this as long as I live. Was in the very early days, I used to travel from Brisbane to the Sunshine Coast, and that way the Bruce Highway was somewhat nice to drive on. Now it's like you take your own life into your own hands, amen? But I used to notice all the natives, the Australian natives, and the bloomage and the flowers and I just said, "Praise God, I can just see your creator, I can see it." There was an appreciation about this world that I'd never seen before. I don't know whether this is true, but it's probably good preaching. As I've always said, not always good preaching is the truth, but I'll say it. Even food tasted better. I don't know whether that's true or not, but everything seemed to have a little bit of sweetness about it. You know what I'm saying? But it was a new life. The Galatians had a new life because they had received a supernatural seed. How do you know it was supernatural? Because he said, "Did you receive ye the Spirit?" So in the King James Bible, the Spirit is who, everyone? God. That's who you received. God. Who's the seed? Christ. Who's he? God. Who's the Spirit of God? God. Who's the source? The Father. The Father sent the Son. So when I received the Spirit of God, when you received the Spirit of God by faith, whether you knew it or not, you had now received God in you. That's what the Bible says, the hope of glory. I've always wondered, I received God and now you want to make me religious. But isn't that what the Galatians, happening to the Galatians? They're being who? Bewitched. And do you know how you get bewitched? By getting your mind all messed up. That's how. So they started to mess with their mind, put them under fear, saying, no, Christ is not the end of the law, and they take you back to Old Testament maybe or whatever the case might be. And you know, some people would rather feel, they feel, you know, people like the law because it makes them feel good. Look at me. I'm so perfect. I never sinned. You're a deceived idiot. True. But isn't that the kind of thing? I know it's a bit extreme, but that's what the law does. I'm somehow self-righteous. No, I'm not self-righteous. I received and imputed to me was the righteousness of Christ when we got saved. Not our righteousness, but his. So it was imputed, given, received. So there's a new life. So they started to add. Come over to Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Romans 8, verse 1. So there's an addition. Have a look here what Paul says to them here, to the Romans. Makes it clear to them. He says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. The word condemned meaning I feel condemned. I don't feel saved. I feel under somewhat condemnation. You can feel condemned if you somehow don't live up to the law. But I said to everyone here, who has not lied this week? Good. You didn't tell a lie. Amen. But that's what condemnation is, isn't it? Condemnation is when I feel as though I haven't lived up to a certain standard. So you feel condemned. Very hard to witness to your family that you've received Christ. They look at it at the ministry of condemnation. Why is that? Well, we know you. Nothing perfect about you. Amen. But they can't see what you've received. They don't understand that. They don't understand that really we're just trying to give them something that they don't have. To them which are in Christ Jesus. So what happens when we're born again? God puts us in Christ. Then he tells us, who walk not after the flesh. Now what does the flesh like, everyone? The law. The flesh likes to somehow live up to a standard which the flesh can never reach. If we could reach the standard that God has given in the Old Testament, if we could reach that standard, then there was no need to send the Son of God. Amen? I mean, the hereditary nature of Adam was fallen. It was never, ever going to reach to any particular standard. Because God is holy and because the law is, he's the essence of the law. How do you know he's the essence of the law? The only person who ever kept the law was Jesus Christ. Amen? Because he was God. In other words, the only one who can keep the law was God. So it basically tells us that we're not God, amen? Well, thank God for that. Then he says, for the law of the Spirit. Now notice the word here, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus have made me free from the what, everyone? Law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. Here's what I'm going to say to you. The first thing is to remember you have a new life because you received the seed. Now, the next thing you've got to take on mind is where he says there, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. This is a new law. What's the law, everyone? It's not the law of the Old Testament. It's the law of the New Testament. And that law of the Spirit, and what's the next word? Of life. Of life. What does the seed produce? Life. Not death. Not condemnation. But what? Life. So there's a new law. So now as a believer, I must learn now to live by a new law. So Paul says one way to do that, don't walk after your flesh, but walk after the Spirit. That's what he's saying. You and I are now under a new law. Go back to Romans 3:24. Let's go back a couple of passages. So Romans 3:24, so there's a new law. We're all under a new law. 3:24. Notice here. So verse 23, if you want to put in context. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we've all sinned because of our hereditary nature. Being justified freely by his grace. Now notice what does that word say, everyone? But justified, what's the word?
Freely.
isn't that a tremendous verse? Freely. By who? Whose grace? My grace or God's? God's grace. Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Why is it in Christ Jesus? Because he was the one who died. It was his blood shed. Seed has to die before it brings forth fruit. Amen? There's no resurrection unless that seed falls into the ground and dies. So through that redemption, whom God have set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. Quite meaning this is that when you received the seed, you received the work of Christ or the blood of Christ, and it's the blood of Christ that forgives us of sin. Why is that? It's clean blood. It's not corrupted. So you remember Jesus Christ, he was made to be sin for us. There was no corruption in him. So his blood makes my blood clean, if you want to put it that way. You can go a lot on this subject, but we won't do that. But the thing is to remember that once you receive the seed, you have received forgiveness, because the only thing that can pay for sin is the weight or the wages of sin is death. The only thing that can pay for that was the payment that Christ did on the cross by shedding his own blood, who had no sin in it because he was the Son of God. And where did that blood come from? Came from a seed, didn't it? Where did the seed come from? The Father who put it in who? The vessel called Mary. Was Mary a sinner? Yes. Amen. Isn't that amazing? How can God put his seed in something like a Mary who's no different to you and I? That's why you can't explain it. I do not put what's valuable to me in an old container. Amen. You don't, do you? But this is what God did, because he's God. He can do these things. Can't explain it. That's what happened. So it's a seed. Okay, verse 26. Now this is what I want everyone to see. To declare, I say at this time, the righteousness that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Notice the word justifier. Who is the justifier? God. He is the justifier. God is. Not by the will of man, nor by the will of the flesh, but by the will of who? God. So who justifies us? God does. When? Of him which believeth in who? Jesus. Isn't that amazing? You believe in the seed and God justifies you. Who does the justifying? God does. Not us, but God. Amen. And how did that happen? Freely. How? By receiving a seed. And how did that happen? By the hearing of faith. How simple that is when you think of the realm of it, is that God said, I'm going to send a seed, supernatural seed, and I'm going to send it by the hearing of faith. And where does that come from? The hearing of the word of God, and here it is, right there in front of us. Okay, so most of you probably know most of that anyway, but that's good to go over. So God does the justifying. But human nature as it is, from Adam, we seem to have developed a hard shell, and it's called pride. You know, man's problem is it's pride, that's the issue. And pride basically says, I can do it myself. Amen. Ah, but now I'm living under a new law, so are you and I. And that law begins when we receive, and this is what I want everyone to run it in your head, when you received, what kind of seed was it, everyone? Supernatural. Okay, why am I saying it's supernatural? Because you can't explain it. That's why. It is supernatural. It is from God. So it's good not to try to explain something. Now, let's go back to Galatians again. Galatians 4 verse 19, come back to them again, this book here of Galatians and Paul dealing with them. And Galatians 4 verse 9, verse 19, we'll pick it up to put back in context, sorry everyone, I'll just put in context. He says verse 17, they zealously affect you, but not well. So here, Paul's speaking to these people and they've been bewitched and they've actually influenced them, because it says they zealously affect you but not well. Yea, they would exclude you that ye might affect them. But it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing, not only when I am present with you. Then Paul says this to them. He says, my little children of whom I travail in birth again. So notice the word he says, I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. What Paul is saying, this is not being born again, okay? So he's not saying that. To travail is pain. When a baby gets in the birth canal, mums, can anything stop it? Do you know when it's coming? But the sucker's going to come, isn't he? Or she, depending on what it is. But it gets in the birth canal. What happens in the birth canal, and this is what the sin, this is the curse of being separated out of the garden, was that women now, you travail, it's... I would hate, I don't mean to be disrespectful, but I keep saying to Jan, another popper. In other words, man, it would be hard to be giving birth, true? And only mums you know, so I do not know. But it's travail. Travail also meaning hard work, hard. So what Paul's saying to them, I've got to come into you guys and I'm doing some hard work. Of whom I travail in birth again. What do you mean again? It was more than likely that they had received the seed by the gospel through Paul. And they received the seed by the Spirit of God, and it was Paul who was the one who delivered the gospel to them. In the meantime, the seed is within them and they had received that. Now someone's come along and messed them up. Now, I'm going to say this to everyone here this morning. I will not compromise. And I'm going to put this in a... God has entrusted me to preach the word of God, and to the best of my ability, He has entrusted me with the word of God to preach it. I will not compromise. And this is what I will not compromise on. A person must receive Christ to be saved. Amen? I will not compromise on it. You must receive the seed, because that's what this book is teaching. And sure, everyone, I did say this to John, How many of you, and I'll put my hand up first, how many of you have been messed up in your Christian life since you received a seed? Amen. How about all of us? Is it fair to say? This is why I won't compromise. Okay, now, do you know what? Do you know how hard it is to start opening up the Word of God and start to go through it? You know how hard it was for the Apostle Paul to travail again and to go through it again? Do you know why? Because he's dealing with the human mind, which is corrupt. And he's got to change their thinking. Thank you, Lord. I'm glad I don't do the changing. You could never change anyone if you tried. Amen? True? But isn't preaching around the Word of God and getting into the Word of God and seeing what the Bible teaches, is that not hard work? It is. Because I'm talking of a supernatural seed. I'm not talking of the carnal mind which we all got from birth. So it is hard work. Why are a lot of people not in church? Carnal mind. Okay? That's why. Or can I say this to you? A mind that's been totally corrupted by somebody else. And he says this to them, I travail again. You know what really Paul was doing? He was removing the junk. And isn't it hard, and I'll say this, isn't it hard when you believe something and then someone comes along and says to you, you're wrong? Doesn't it just hurt your pride? Oh no, but I believe this way. Did you, dummy? So you received the Spirit of God by how you believed. No, you didn't. You received it by the Holy Ghost, by the Spirit of God, which you cannot explain. Amen. You see what I'm saying? Amen. So, it's hard work. And there's plenty of corruption around. I've been recently trying to get the desert outside here to grow grass in. I've been digging out the old stuff and going through it, and then I thought, well, I'll go down, I'll get some cooch, the seed, you know, and I seeded the grass out here. And then I started watering it. And I go back down and look, no, it just looks like a dry desert. So it's just not wet enough. So I get the tap here, still like a dry desert. And I got this, and after a while, you know, so this is quite some time now, I'm thinking to myself, it must be the birds. They must have come and got the seed. Then I got to thinking, that can't be right. How can the birds find this little tiny wee cooch seed? You ever seen how small it is? Then I got to thinking, it's those stinking ants. They've carried the seed away, right? And now I keep watering it and nothing happens. But I do know this, let's be fair, I do know I put the seed in the ground. I do know that much. And then thank God the rain from heaven came the other day. And I went down yesterday and I looked at the dry desert. And there it is. The little seed's growing.
Amen.
You say, what happened? I stopped giving it the corrupt water. It had to be the water from heaven to give life to that seed, amen? How many churches where people have received the seed and they look like the dry desert? There is no fruit. There's nothing there. And they keep going back to the church and they keep watering them. With what? The corrupt water. Why? Because of this seed. By the way, did you know the Bible is also called the water of the word? It's also called water.
Yes.
And where did this water come from, everyone? Heaven, amen?
Heaven.
And it comes down and it waters a supernatural what?
Seed.
That's something. So sometimes you look at people and you go, I'm pretty sure you received the seed. And here's what I'll say to you. What are you looking for? The seed in the Old Testament produces its own kind. Who is the seed, everyone? Christ. You know what you're looking for? Christ. Where are you looking for it? In the believer. You know, I really do believe that God, I believe God does really bless our faithfulness. Because faithfulness around the Word of God is the only way we grow. Because it's the only real thing that gives life to the seed that's been sown supernaturally, because in effect it's supernatural. And the hearing of the Word of God somehow supernaturally waters that seed. And that seed, and this is what I love, produces Christ. That's the fruit. I hear many people over the years have talked to me about different things. I believe this, or I believe that, whatever the case might be. I'm going to heaven, whatever. But you know one thing you never see in them? Where's Christ? Where is he? You're saying you're doing this in the name of Jesus Christ, and where is he? Seriously. I mean, there are pastors today that I know, God should just kill them. He's affecting the seed. They're messing with people's minds. Amen?
Amen?
And you know, when you mess with someone's mind, how then supernaturally can the Word of God grow in our hearts and our minds, because some idiot keeps coming along and says, I need to build a kingdom. You say, what is that? I need to build a church. And the way we're going to do it, well, let's get the world in. So you want the world to come in who hate Christ. So therefore, you want to build your kingdom. Let's get rid of Jesus Christ, amen. And let's just build the church. Amen, true. Is that not true, John?
Yep. Yes.
That's the truth. They're no different to Israel. They rejected the chief cornerstone because the world wanted to build their kingdoms without Jesus Christ. You know, when Christ comes back, that's when the world has Christ. Until then, they don't. So the seed. And you know, the interesting thing then is that the seed is called God with us. You don't have to turn there, but you remember in Matthew 1:23, when Mary had the child and it says, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. You know what the word Emmanuel means? God with us, which being interpreted is God with us. I'm reading from the Bible. I'm reading. Okay, so remember last, I think it was Christmas Day, we talked about the seed being wrapped in the swaddling clothes. It was to die. In the seed, what were they saying? That God was with us. So if you received the seed, where? In. Guess who is with you? God. God with us. So the seed is in us. So therefore, there must be a manifestation of the seed of Christ in us. As John 1:14 says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. So God now is in us. He said he'd never leave us. He said he'd never forsake us, didn't he? You know, there are some churches today, and this is how they have their meetings, and they're somehow praying and hoping that God will turn up. Listen here, you idiots, did you receive him? And if he's in you, then God is with you. Amen.
Yes.
True. God with us. So you say, well, Brother Simon, how does this work? I have God with me. And where does it really play out? In church? No. It plays out on the golf field. You say, how?
He's the one helping me to learn this stupid game. Amen?
Amen.
True?
Yep.
That, don't you need him in the stupid little things we do through the week?
Yep.
That's when you need him. Because that's where we have the seed in us. God's with us. Isn't it a blessing? And I say, Lord, I'm talking to you. I talk to more of him outside than I probably do here. God with us. I talk to him all the time. Don't you hate it when you don't hear from him for a while? Whoops. What's happened here? I need to get back in church. I need to get back in the Word of God.
Remember, Paul said, he said to the Corinthians, he says, for we are laborers together, and notice the word, with God. I'm not laboring for God, I'm laboring with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. Why are we laboring with God? Because he's the one who can give the birth to the seed. No one else can. You see what I mean? My labor's with him. Nothing can happen without Jesus Christ. And that's why he said, without me, you can do nothing. But, you know, sadly, the counterfeits today, there are many counterfeits in the world today. Now, go back to Galatians 4:19 with me for a moment. Go back to Galatians 4:19. And here's... So there's many counterfeits, and the counterfeits, and this is what a counterfeit is, everyone. A counterfeit is somebody or something that wants to talk down Jesus Christ in you. What do you mean? It works something like this. Don't tell me that I need to receive Christ. Or what they try to do, they try to talk you down and they try to talk God down in you.
Oh, amen. I can get to heaven my own way. No, you can't. I'm a Christian. No, you're not. Oh, boy, you want to say that to some people.
Yep.
Do you know why I say that? Because they're not. Because they haven't received the seed. And how do I know whether they received the seed? Because they would be talking about the Bible and they'd be talking about the things of God. And then what they try and do to the Christian, they try to get you to compromise and they try to stand over you and they try to talk you down and they try to say, that's just your belief, Simon. It is not my belief, I received it supernaturally. And I have the Word of God to back it up. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
And I won't compromise the Christian walk or the Christian life because that's received so freely by the grace of God.
Okay, so it's manifest. So in Galatians 4:19, notice what he says, my little children of whom I travail in birth again, that's the next word, until Christ be what?
Formed
in you. You know what that means? Till Christ grows up in you. How? By the hearing of the Word of God. By the faith, by the water of the word, that Christ, so you get stronger in Christ, he gets stronger in you, amen? And now it's just me and Christ and it's nothing else. Thank God for that. But what's he say? That Christ be formed in you. You know when something like God is formed in you, doesn't that change your personality and your disposition? Doesn't that change your belief systems? Amen. And that's the whole idea, Christ being formed in us. That's the whole purpose. And because of that conformity, in Isaiah 9:6, prophesying of Christ, he says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. In that verse prophesying of Christ being born, he says the government shall be upon his shoulders. Meaning now as a believer, I'm under a new law. I have a new life. I'm under a new law. I have the manifestation of Christ, but now I'm under a new government. And that government is Christ, and he now governs my life, which is by faith. Now let's finish here. Let's go over to John chapter 3 and I'll finish here. We're going to go to the story of Nicodemus. It's So in John chapter 3, we have the story of Nicodemus. Most of you are very aware of the story of Nicodemus, but let's have a look at him now in the light of receiving the seed. Let's have a look at him in that light. So in verse 1, so hear what the Bible says. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. So he had position. He was a Pharisee. And the same came to Jesus by night. Remember, the Pharisees wanted the law, but not what? Life. They didn't want Christ. They wouldn't turn to him. So he comes to Jesus by night, this Pharisee, a ruler of the Jews. Verse 2, the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher from God, for no man could do these miracles that thou doest except, what's the next three words, everyone? God be with him. Okay, now, think about Nicodemus for a moment. He comes to Jesus and he says, we know that none of this can happen unless God is with him, or with you. Well, we know that God was with him because he is God. But who didn't have God? Nicodemus. Nicodemus didn't have God. He knew about God. He recognized it must be God. He knew all that sort of stuff, but he didn't have God. Watch what Christ does next. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He is the seed. Nicodemus, something you don't have. I'm not interested in what you know. I just know you don't have something. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? He's thinking of the natural birth. Not the supernatural seed or the supernatural birth. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. By the way, what did I say before the Bible is known as?
Water.
Unless you're born by water and the Spirit of God. How did the seed out there grow? By the water from the tap? By the water from heaven. By the water from heaven. What's the water from heaven, everyone? The Word of God, which waters the seed. What's the seed, everyone? The Word of God, and Jesus Christ has been the Word of God as well. Get confusing? Just hang in there. Then Jesus says, verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is what, everyone? Flesh. That's why it's supernatural. It's not born by the will of man. It's not born by the will of the flesh, is it? It's not. It's born by who? God Almighty. And that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you that ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh. And whither so it goeth, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Do you know what it is? You know, you do not know when someone's going to get saved. You do not know when the Spirit of God is moving on someone. You do not know when he's walking up and down the aisles when you go to sleep at night. You do not know what he's been doing in your life. Amen. The Spirit of God is like that wind, and it comes and goes. But I tell you what, when it comes, it's going to do something, and it's going to bring forth birth, and that birth is into the kingdom of his dear Son. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah for that. Amen. Let's get out of this temporal world and get born into heaven. Amen. That's what Jesus is talking about. I'm sick and tired of this nonsense today. There is no miracles, there's no supernatural working of the Spirit of God, there's no understanding of the Word of God, there is no real salvation in the people's hearts, and men and women are walking around deceived, oh, I'm going to heaven, I'm okay. No, you're not okay. You need to be born again. And Jesus didn't mess around with the words. He said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. I mean, you say, Simon, that sounds like you're just cutting the line right down the middle. It is. You've either received him or you haven't. Amen?
Amen.
And you either receive him as freely, as a free gift, or you do without it. Think about eternity and think, man, I did without it. You know, sadly, most people are watering their life with this temporal world. And they keep watering it by the flesh. Somehow think there's something nice in this world and I've got to somehow get life in this world. And as long as that water has been watered, if there's a seed in the person, that seed will never grow. Amen? And let's not say, everyone, look, this life is so temporal. It doesn't matter. ATP wants me to go and see some waterfall going over a rock. What's the big deal? I've seen water go over a rock before, haven't I? Amen? You know, there's not that much in this life. It's temporal. It's temporal because we're born in a temporal world and you need to be born spiritually by the Spirit of God. Let's follow it on. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Oh boy, here's the accountability. And Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? They knew. If any nation knew, it was Israel. They had the presence of God with them. They understood.
Yep.
Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master? Then verse 11, verily I say unto you, thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and he received not our witness. What's he saying? Jesus is saying to Nicodemus, verily I say unto thee, we speak that we do know. What does that mean? He's actually saying we're Jews and we do know. The oracles of God were not given to the Gentiles, remember. He's saying, you do know. You know this. Then Jesus says, I've told you earthly things and you believe not. How shall he believe if I tell you of what, everyone? Amen. Heavenly things. No man have ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even as the Son of Man, which is in heaven. You know what Jesus just said to Nicodemus? He said, I'm God, I'm in heaven, and I'm down here at the same time. Figure that one out. That is our God. So, why have you gone to great lengths this morning to teach this subject? Because this is what I think the Christian life is. It begins with receiving, and that receiving gives you a new life. And the word is new because it's supernatural. It then puts the believer under a new law, the law of the Spirit in Christ Jesus. There's a new law. What's the law? I now live by faith, not by sight. So we're under a new law. This is the Christian life. I have a new life. So sometimes you've got to get rid of the junk to realize you have a new life. The second one is, because I'm under a new law, I have also a new manifestation. What does that mean? We have Christ in us. I know we don't always display that with amen. Depends if you're walking after the flesh or the spirit. But there should be a new manifestation. What's the manifestation? The manifestation is this. I believe it's this. If I keep giving those seeds out there the corrupt water, there is no manifestation, is there? The manifestation of God is when we get continually soaked in the Word of God by the right water. That's the manifestation. So it's important then for any believer to get around the Bible. That's the crucial thing. That's what Jesus said. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And the final one is, now as a believer, I'm under a new government. I know a lot of people don't like the idea governed. And I'm governed by Christ, meaning this. I or you as a believer should not compromise our position in Jesus Christ. I'm governed by the faith that's found in the Word of God. I will not fellowship with you. I will not eat with you. I do not want to know you unless I can give you the seed and you can start to grow. you know, that's why they sometimes call Christians a cult. No, he said, come out from among them, be separate, saith the Lord.
That's right. Yep. Amen.
And I'll receive you. It talks about as a father, as unto sons and daughters. We're under a new government, and that government is Christ. And isn't that something to think about, that the rest of our lives before eternity, before we step into eternity, if Christ can lead us all the way now? I don't think there's much more I can say about the Christian life, but it is new. I'll give you one verse to close with. And he did say in 2 Corinthians 5:17, you might want to make note of it. He says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Let's close with our last hymn. It's in our little book here. It's called, I believe there's a new name written down in heaven. And it's 349. A new name in glory. Think about it.
Yes, it's mine.